Okay, today's daf, we're going to do Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Bet and Kuf Ayin Daled, which is Shabbat daf. We're starting at the Mishnah at the very bottom of Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, the last line. Hamovet chavero yedei arev, lo yipara mina arev. Somebody lends money to a friend using a guarantor. Okay, today we're going to talk about a guarantor of a loan. Somebody lends his friend money. He can't go collect, right? So he lends money. I lend money to Judy, and Aviva is the guarantor. So I can't go to Judy. I can't go to Aviva, the guarantor, and I can't make her pay. Seems strange. Isn't that the whole point of a guarantor of a loan? So we're going to talk about it. We're going to see there's some different explanations of this mission exactly. V'mamarlo al menach Ephraim Yemisha Erze. But if I made a condition with Judy and I said, I'm lending you money on the condition that I can collect from whoever I want, meaning, obviously not anyone, meaning either Aviva or you, then yipara min ha'arev. Okay, then I'm allowed to go to Aviva to get the money. Rashbag omer, im yesh nechasim lalove, if the love has money, if Judy has money, then ben kach uben kach lo yipara min ha'arev. I can only go to Aviva, according to Rashbag, if Judy doesn't have the money. Okay, again, this is the way we're going to understand the Mishnah in the first reading. We'll see, there's going to be a bit of a change in the Gemara. V'chein haya Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, ha'arev li'isha b'ktubata, v'haya ba'alam megarsha. If someone guarantees the ktuba of the woman, and the husband divorces her, we insist that yidirena hana'a, shema yasu knunya al nechasim shalzev yachzirit ishto. Okay, let's talk backwards, okay? There's a concern for a conspiracy. What's the concern of a conspiracy? That if a husband has someone guarantee his ketubah, if he's desperate for money, what will he do? He and his wife will make a deal here. He'll divorce her. The other guy will have to pay the ketubah money, right, the guarantor. And then he'll remarry her. Get it? And then when he remarries her, what's the issue? The guarantor can no longer take that money back. Because remember what happens. A guarantor might pay your money, but might pay off your loan. But if he does, when you get the money, he's going to come and claim it from you. Now, with a ketubah, though, the ketubah money belongs to the woman. And even when she marries the husband, he gets payroll from it, but it's her money. So in this case, it's a great way to do a conspiracy because it'll be her money. The guarantor won't be able to claim it back from him. Mm-hmm. And then they'll basically have money to live on. So in order to prevent this from happening, yidirena hana'a, we insist that when there's an arev to the ketubah and the husband wants to divorce the wife, we insist that the husband say, I'm making a neder, a vow, that I won't get any hana'a from this woman, meaning that, right, basically, if he doesn't make that vow, then we basically don't let him get divorced because we're worried that he's going to basically do this knunya. Okay? Now, some of them mefarshim ask, which is a very good question, which is, if that's the case and the husband's not willing to make a neder, then, let's say they really do want to get divorced, but he's unwilling to make such a neder because, first of all, in that case, he can't remarry his wife, which is not it, right? You don't want to... Like, it prevents that situation from happening. Now, you could be Matir Neder, and maybe they would allow it. But what if the husband's unwilling to do that? Then, according to this, they won't let him divorce the wife, and then she's going to be an Aguna. So, some people say it seems strange. Why wouldn't we insist that the woman be why wouldn't she make a Neder Hana'a on the husband? Right? She Tidor Hana'a. So, it's a little strange that they make the husband do it, because in that sense, it could create an Aguna situation. Okay, now, the first assumption of this reading of the Mishnah is that you can't collect money from an arev. So my taima, in other words, it seems like, right, lo yipara min arev. Well, then what's the point of an arev if we can't collect money from the arev, right? That was the first line of the Mishnah. Hamavet chavero yedei arev, lo yipara min arev. I thought that was the whole point of an arev. So Rabba v'Rav Yosef d'Amr Travayu, gavra ashlimat li, gavra ashlime lach. What can the guy say? He can say like this. The Arev says, my responsibility was to make sure that the lova doesn't disappear. I'm guaranteeing to you that I'll make sure that the lova pays up. But I'll make sure that he doesn't skip town, right? So basically, what we're saying is like this. what it means is that an Arev is an Arev in the event of death or that the Lova skipped town and ran away while he owes you the money. But in any other situation than that, he's not responsible. He can say, look, you wanted me to make sure, let's say it's Aviva. Aviva says, you wanted me to make sure Judy didn't skip town. I made sure Judy didn't skip town. She's right here. The fact that she has no money, that's not my problem. Okay? That's the way Rabbi Rav Yosef understand it. Matkipla Rav Nachman, Hai Dina de Parsai. Nachman says, this is the Persian rule. Okay, remember the Persians ruled the Jews in those days. He says, this is a terrible law. This is the law of the Persians, that you can't collect from an Arev. We have to protect the Malve. So then they say, what do you mean? Adraba. No, the Dina of the Parsiim is Daka the opposite, which is Batar Arva Azle. In the case of the Parsiim, it's not that they don't collect from an Arev. No, they collect directly from an Arev without even going to the Love. That's the Dina of the Parsiim. So what does that have to do with this? So, Ella, Bedina de Parsai, de lo yave tama limiltaihu. What Rav Nachman says is, this is like the law of the Persians, not that the law is the same as the law of the Persians. The law is actually the opposite, because remember, we say that you can't even collect from the Arev at all. And the Persians say that you can collect directly from the Arev and skip the Lova entirely. So what's the issue? The issue is that the Bedina of the Parsiim, what do we know about their Bet Din? They don't give reasons for what they do. Okay, they don't explain their reasoning. Likewise, this is a crazy halacha. What do you mean you can't collect from an Arev? That's the whole point of a guarantor, to be able to collect from him. So this halacha makes no sense. That's what he was basically trying to say. So Rav Nachman disagrees with Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. And El Amar Rav Nachman, my lo yipara min Arev, lo yitba Arev tchila. It means exactly, you can't do like the Persians, which is, don't go collect from the Arev first. First, go to the Lova. If the Lova can't give you the money, then you can go to the Arev. Tanya Nami Hachi, and here's a braita to support Rav Nachman's reading. Hamavet chaverol yedei Arev lo yitba Arev tchila. Right, you can't go collect directly from the Arev. There you have it. V'imamar, and the braita continues just like our Mishnah. V'imamar manat she'efram imisher tse yitba Arev tchila. Okay, then you're allowed to go to the Arev first. Amar Rav Huna. Now Rav Huna is going to say, how do we know, minayim la'arev dimishtabed? How do we know that an arev can be mishuabad to a loan, even without, now you have to remember, an arev generally, you wouldn't necessarily write a shtar, but an arev can already, just by saying, I'll be your guarantor, by committing to be a guarantor, he can already, even if you didn't do a kinyan, his nechasim are mishuabadim to the loan, basically, okay? He is chayav to pay the money in the event that you don't pay. Dichtiv, where do we know it from? Yehuda and Binyamin. What did Yehuda say when they got down to Egypt? And you know, and Yosef did the whole thing where he set up Binyamin. Anochi aravenu miyadi tivakshenu. Right, I will be an arev from him. Okay, miyadi tivakshenu, come get it from me. Matkif la Rav Chista hakablanuti. Dichtiv tnaoto al yadi v'ani ashivenu. He says, that's not an Arev, that's a Kablan. We're going to learn that there's two types. There's an Arev and there's a Kablan. An Arev is someone who says, I'll guarantee your loan. And a Kablan is someone who says, I will basically give it to you. Okay? In other words, I'm going to function in place of the Lova. I would say, put it in this way, it's like an unconditional guarantee. It's saying a stronger type of guarantee. So there's a standard Arev, and that's the case where we're going to say, you can't go to the Arev. But in a case of a Kablan, you can. Okay, so they're going to say, we can't learn it from Yehuda, because Yehuda was a case where he said, and we're going to see it, the Lashon of Tinali, which basically means, right, give it to me, which means kind of give me the loan, right? I'll function for the Loveh, which basically means you can come collect from me. It's a stronger Lashon of commitment. So he says, that case of Yehuda was Tinao Toal Yadivan Yeshivenu. He used the Lashon of Tina. We're going to talk in a minute about what Lashon is Arev, what Lashon is Kablan, okay? And therefore, it's a stronger one, and you can't learn from him. So, El Am Rabbi Yitzchak Mehacha. Okay, let's learn it from this pasuk, okay, which is a pasuk of Mishlei. Likach bigdo ki Arev zar, uba'ad nochriya chavleu, va'omer bini meravta l'reecha, takata lizar kapecha, nokashta be'imre picha, I'm sure I've lost you by now, nokashta be'imre picha, nokadita be'imre picha, asezot efo bini v'hinatzel, ki bata be'kaf re'echa, lechit rapesu rahav re'echa. Okay, I'll explain it according to the pshat, and we'll see how they darshan this. Okay, my son, if you took an arev, a rav tal re'echa, you were a guarantor to your friend. Takata lezar kapecha, you shook a hand to a for a stranger, meaning you shook a hand on a deal, you became an arev. Or no kashe merepicha, like a you got tripped up on something you said, okay, which basically, or no kadetabim repicha, means the same thing, where you basically cursed someone or said something not nice to someone. So there's two things you did wrong in this, right, or you did in this pasuk. One is you were either an arev for some stranger, or you said something not nice about someone. This is how you're going to rectify the situation. Asuzot efo b'ni v'hi natzel. Okay, this is how you'll be saved from your situation. Kibata b'kaf re'echa. When you came into the hands of your friend who basically wants to get you back, either the one who gave the loan wants to get the money from you, or the friend wants to get back at you for the fact that you cursed him. Lech hitrapes, humble yourself. Urahav re'echa. Okay, so assemble your friends. Okay, so humble yourself and assemble your friends. So now, what does this mean exactly? Hitrapes v'rahav re'echa. So, hitrapes, they say, is notrikon. Remember that what that is? When we take the abbreviations and we kind of make a whole sentence out of it. It's like an abbreviation of a short sentence. Short abbreviation of a longer sentence. Im mamon yesh lo b'yedcha, if you have to pay him back money because you took it on an arevut, okay, and here we're going to prove our pasuk, right? If you became an arev, hatir lo pisat yadecha, open up your hand to him and basically pay him back. So there we have our proof that we were looking for. If you're an arev, you have to pay the money. So hitrapes is hatir lo pisat yad. Vim lav, and if that wasn't the case of mamon you owe him, but you spoke meanly about him, harbe alav re'im. Go get a lot of friends and do mechila in front of, in a public, okay, in a public way, ask for mechila. Amar Amemar. Okay, so that was our proof, how we know that an Arev is Meshuabed. Amar Amemar. Arev de Mishtabed, machloket Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Yossi. Whether or not an Arev is Meshuabed and has to pay back the loan is a classic machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, a machloket that we know. Le Rabbi Yossi damar asmach takanya, Arev Mishtabed. L'Rabbi Yehuda damar asmachta lo kanya arev lo mishtabed. Classic machloket of asmachta. What's asmachta? Did you really mean to agree to this? When somebody agrees to guarantee a loan, what do they usually think, right? You buy a house, you get a mortgage, you need someone to sign. Do you think that person actually thinks they're going to ever pay that money? No. Like, who remembers if they've even guaranteed loans for people, right? Maybe people do. Maybe lots of people don't remember even. Okay? So basically, when you guarantee this money, that's a smachta. You assume you're never going to pay this money. And therefore, that's a smachta. So you don't have to pay. According to Rabbi Yossi, a smachta is kanya. You do have to pay a smachta. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, a smachta is lo kanya. And that's why there's a machloket. Do you have to pay or don't you have to pay, right? Are you meshuabad to this or are you not? Okay, that's the first reading. By the way, the Ritva says here, if we go back to our definitions of what comes under the category of asmachta, one of the things we said about asmachta, right, it's exaggerated, which this is exaggerated, right? You never really thought you were going to pay this. You had no connection to this. You never got any benefit from it. Why should you pay this money? But the second thing we said is it has to be under your control or partially under your control. There were two different interpretations. And here, it's not under his control at all. So how could you say that this is asmachta if, right, it's not under the Arev's control whether the Lova pays back the money or not. So the Ritva says that there's a different reason here. Generally, we say it's biado or it has to be partially biado. This is, by the way, we had the problem with defining it. Part of the struggle was not all the cases fit the categories. So the Ritva says this has a different reason. This is because he's doing him a favor. And because of that, he doesn't really think the borrower will default because he thinks the borrower knows that this guy's doing him a big, right? You can't get a mortgage unless someone signs off, you know, guarantees your mortgage. So the person who signs is doing you the biggest favor by allowing you to get this mortgage. And therefore he assumes that you're going to do whatever it is within your control not to actually make him pay, right? Which makes sense in the context of nowadays, right? Where we do these things. Nobody ever really thinks that they're going to pay, and they're doing you a huge favor because otherwise there's no way, right? I remember renting apartments, and so you can't rent the apartment unless you find someone to guarantee. You know, it's not so easy always to find people. So whoever you find is doing you a huge favor, and therefore, he's because of that, he's not mishtabed. In other words, that's why it's asmachta, because he doesn't really ever think that you're going to need him. He was just doing you a favor, and in terms of that favor, he assumed that you would do everything in your power not to make him pay up. Anyway, we think that this is asmachta, but Amar le Rav Ashi la Meimar, hamasim b'chol yom, da asmachta lo kanya. But there's things every day we pass in cases where we say asmachta isn't kone. And arev mishtabed. Both we pask in that asmachta is lo kanya, and we pask in that arev is mishtabed, and therefore they can't be connected. Okay? Because again, we said if asmachta is kanya, then the arev is mishtabed. That was Rabbi Yossi, but we don't pask in like Rabbi Yossi. We saw this a few days ago also, right? So it doesn't make any sense. So Ela Amarav Ashi. Sorry, I read that. Ela Amarav Ashi. Why is this, even though this is really asmachta, why in this case? What do we generally assume when you do asmachta? The point is, you never really intended to do this, right? In this case, there was no benefit for the arev, so therefore he never was machne the money, and therefore you can't take from him. It was never his commitment. So what is Rav Ashi saying? No, he really was. Why? Because there's something additional that you missed here. Bahu ana'a dekameheman le gamar umishtabed nafshe. He gets hana'a from the fact that the malveh, okay, in this case it was me, that I trust Aviva to sign for you, Judy, that gives Aviva a certain amount of pleasure, that I trust her. We've seen this before, that when somebody trusts you and puts you in high regard, that's valued at something. And for that value, Aviva's willing to be Meshabed Nafsha. So even though it really is Asmachta, this overrides the Asmachta. In other words, we might say Asmachta is Lokanya, but in this case, she was Machneh, because she wanted to get, you know, she was so proud that people made her the Arev, they gave her a certain amount of trust, okay? And therefore, because of that, she was Machneh. Okay, continuing now in the Mishnah. Im amar menach, so the first line in the Mishnah was Lo yipara min Arev, okay? Then the Tanakhama said, Almanach Ephraim Misha Ertse, right? You can take it from the Arev. So Amar Rabbar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela She'ein Nechasim Lelove. When Tanakhama said that if you make this Tanai, Almanach Ephraim and Arev, so he says, that's when there's no Nechasim for the Love. Ava Yesh Nechasim Lelove, Lo Yiparam and Arev. But if the Love has Nechasim, then you can't take it from the Arev. That makes no sense, though, because if you remember the Mishnah, Hami Dekatani Sefer Mishim Bengali Alomerim Yesh Nechasim Lelovel Lo Yiparam Min Arev. That was exactly what Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel said, that in the case where he doesn't have money, in the case where he does have money, you can't go to the Arev. It sounded like Tanakhama says, as long as you made the commitment and you said Amanach Ephraim Min Arev, you can go to the Arev even if he has Nechasim. So what do we say here? So Michal Tanakhama Savar Loshna Hachi Veloshna Hachi. It doesn't matter whether he has Nechasim or whether he doesn't. So now the answer, reread the Mishnah. The Mishnah reads differently. Chisuri Mechasre V'Hachi Katani. Hamavet Chaviro Yidei Arev Lo Yiparam Min Arev. That's the first case. Okay, we're leaving that. V'im Amar Al Menach Ephraim Misha Ertze Yiparam Min Arev. Okay, if he says Hamanat, it works. Okay, so far no change. Now we go to this is going to match exactly what he said before, Rabbi Rochana said. This is only, okay, still Tanakhama holds, even if we said Amanat, I said Amanat, that I'm going to go collect from Aviva, I still can't collect from her in the event that Judy has money. Aval yesh nechasim lelove, lo yipara min arev. Okay, only when Judy has no money can I go to Aviva. Here we add the new thing. V'kablan, but a kablan, a higher level arev, af al pi sheyesh nechasim lelove yipara min kablan. But a kablan, if Aviva was a kablan, I can take from her no matter what. And on that, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees. Shimon ben Gamliel amerim yesh nechasim lelove echad ze v'echad ze lo yipara mehen. I can't, even if Aviva is a kablan, if Judy has money, I can't go to Aviva. And according to this, the machloket in the Mishnah is only about a kablan. Okay? So that's the machloket's only about a kablan, not about a regular arev. Amar Rab Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol makom sheshina Rashbag b'mishnatenu, halacha kamoto, we've seen this a number of times. Every time it says Rashbag in the Mishnah, the halacha is akim, chutz mi, arev. In this case, we don't hold like Rashbag. Okay, so we don't say that if Judy has money, I can't go to Aviva even if she's a kablan. No, if she's a kablan, I can go to her. Okay, vitzidon, that was the case in Gittin, okay, where there was a maaseh in Saidan. It was, if you divorce a woman, almanat, that she gives her husband this itzalit, okay, this cloak, and the husband lost, and the wife lost the cloak. Okay, so this will be your get under the condition that you give me my cloak. and she loses the cloak. So according to Tanakama, there's no get. According to Rashbag, she can give him the value of the cloak. Okay, she can give him financial value. And we don't pass him like Rashbag there. And Raya Achrona, that's a case we haven't seen yet. It's in Sanhedrin. We'll see it soon. The Mishnah Sanhedrin on Lamed Aleph says that if there's all this whole question about how long you can keep bringing Edim in your case, like the case is closed, can you bring further Edim? So they say that if it's called Raya Achrona, because there's a few machlokot in the Mishnah, so it's the last one, and it's the case is if they said bring Edim, and he said ainly Edim, or they say bring proof, Amar ainly Raya, ula achar zman hevi Raya, umatza Edim. And then later on, he finds witnesses or he finds proof that he didn't have before. Hareza eno klum. Tanakama says we don't believe him because we assume that he just found someone who was willing to lie for him. If originally he didn't have edim, ma pitom that now he has edim. Rashbag omer, ma yasezeh, shelo ya yodea sheyesh lo edim, umatza edim. Lo ya yodea sheyesh lo raya, umatza raya. Just because he said, I don't have proof, doesn't mean that he didn't find us. At that point, he didn't have witnesses. He didn't have proof. But later on, if he finds proof, what's he supposed to do? So Rashbag says we should accept them. And Tanakama says, no, we're suspect that he's lying. And we actually paskin like Tanakama there. We don't paskin like Rashbag. So all cases in the Mishnah where Rashbag is mentioned, the halacha is like him, except for these three cases. Amar Rav Huna. Now we're going to get to the lashon of what's an arev and what's a kablan. Hilvehu v'ani arev, lend him money and I'll be an arev. Hilvehu v'ani porea, lend him money and I'll pay you back. Hilvehu, lend him money, v'ani chayav, and I'll be responsible. Hilvehu v'ani, ani aten, right? Ani, what's the bet there? 1 second. Right, ani aten. Kulan, right, and I will give. Kulan lashon arevuten. Okay, these are all lashon of arevut. This car walking on them. Tain lo vani kablan. If you say the lashon of tain lo, give him and I will be a kablan. Tain lo vani porea, give him and I will pay back. Tain lo vani chayav, give him and I will be responsible. Tain lo vani atain, kulan lashon kablanutain. Okay, so if you say give him as opposed to loan him, give is the lashon of a kablanut. So now they ask questions. These are those nitpicky questions, right? What if you say, Hilveyu vani kablan? You use the lashon of halva'a, but you say at the end, and I'm a kablan. Or tain lo vani arev. We use the lashon of kablanut, of tain, but you say, but I'll be arev, my. I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak, lashon arevut, arevut, lashon kablanut, kablanut. If you say the word arev, then obviously you're an arev. You say the word kablan, obviously you're kablan. Rav Chista Amar, now we're going to have two opposite approaches. Rav Chista Amar, he disagrees with what we said before. Kulan lashon kablanut hein, bar mi hilveyu vani arev. Any lashon we mentioned before is all kablanut, unless you say, loan him, and I'll be an arev. Only if you say that are you an arev, otherwise you're accepting full responsibility, unconditional. Rava Amar, kulan lashon arevut hein. He says dafka the opposite. The base assumption is you're an arev. Bar me, except for tain lo vani no tain. Unless you say tain lo vani no tain, if you use double lashon of nitina, or obviously tain lo vani kablan, okay? Either of those cases, you'd be a kablan, but anything else, you're going to be an arev. Okay, so they have opposite approaches. You see that the aleph is next to kulan lashon arevut, the second. So basically, we paskin that generally we assume you're an arev unless you specifically specify you're a kablan. Amar le mar bar hamemar le Ravashi. Hachi amar abba. Tein lo v'ani no tein. Ein la malve al halove klum. If you say tein lo v'ani atein, okay, there's mar bar hamemar says to Ravashi that abba told me this. Tein lo v'ani no tein. Ein la malve al halove klum. He doesn't have anything to do with the love. Basically, tein lo v'ani no tein means I'm accepting full responsibility. Vilohi, but that's not actually true. Lo miftar love mine de malve. Okay, so you have to, in other words, you have to first go to the love, okay? Right, I think that's what it means. I don't remember this line, I think that's what it means, but you actually have to go to the love first, okay? 1 second. In a love, patur mila faratachav. Sorry, it's not exactly. Okay. If you say tain lo vani no tain, the only way you're going to be responsible is As she saw Arev, if let's say Aviva went to me to get the money for Judy, if she got the money directly from me, then she's responsible. But if she says Tain lo v'ani no tain, but Judy gets the money directly from me, then Judy's responsible. Okay? But I have to get them in my hands. If Aviva takes the money for you directly from me and then gives them to you, then she's basically assuming the loan for you, and she's responsible.
But it seems like she's taking the loan and then just giving it to me and hoping that I'll give it back to her to give to you.
Probably, right. Right. I mean, in all these cases, the Arev can go back to the Lova and say, hey, I paid your loan, pay up. Right? But still, the question is, who do I go to as the Malveh? Right? Can I go straight to Aviva? Or do I have to go through you first? Okay? So according to this, if she took it directly from me, I can go to Aviva straight. But not otherwise. Okay? Now we're going to see some cases. Hahu Dayana de'achte l'malveh l'nichzei d'loveh. Okay, this is actually not an Arev case, but we're going to compare it to an Arev case. If a Loveh takes money, and usually what would happen, the Malveh would go to the Loveh and say, pay up, and the Loveh says, I don't have any money, and then we go to the property of the Loveh, right? The first thing we do is we see, does the Loveh have property? Can we take the Loveh's property? Because remember, the Loveh's property is Meshuabad to the loan. So in this case, what happened? This Dayan went straight, Achte l'Malveh, he was Morid the Malveh, he brought the Malveh to the Nichzei de Loveh. He basically allowed him to take the property directly from the Loveh. Mikame de Litvei le Loveh, before we actually went to the Loveh to see if the Loveh had money to pay me back. Okay, we straight went right away, the Dayan said, go take the property. You know, this guy owes you money? Okay, go take his property, go seize his property. Without actually finding out, maybe the guy had money to pay you back, had cash. Right? The person would always rather pay in cash, we've said this, because land is very valuable, they want to keep land. So, this Dayan obviously didn't act appropriately. Salke Rav Chanin Bereid Rav Yiva. So Rav Chanin Bereid Rav Yiva basically says, you can't rule anymore, okay? Salke, it's unclear whether he means he took away the land, or it sounds like he also stopped him from being a Dayan. He said, you're not a good judge. You can't judge people anymore. Amarava, man chakim lemea bakiha milta. Ilav Rav Chanin Bereid Rav Yiva. What, right, who else is so smart like that to do such a thing than Rav Yiva, Rav Chanin Bereid Rav Yiva? In other words, he did a good thing. Kasavar, what did he hold? Nichse debar inush, inun ma'arven yate. Utnan amavet chavero yede arev, lo yipara min arev. V'kaim alal yilo yitba arev tchila. He says, we can learn this out from our Mishnah, because basically, person's property is like a guarantee of a loan. They're basically equating an arev with a person's property. And what did we learn? You can't go to the Arev Tchila. So therefore, what does it mean? You can't go to the land first. Okay? And that's why he said what he did was the right thing. Okay, another case. Sahu Arva Diyatme. There was an Arev for your Tomim. Depare Lamilve Mikame Delodi Inhu Liyatme. He paid back the Malve without even telling the Yatomim. Okay? Now there's a few issues here. Number one, maybe the person would have been Mochel on the loan. You never know. Right? In other words, there's a problem if the Arev goes to pay back a loan before without the person knowing, it's never a good thing because the person could always go and say, you know, maybe you'll be mochel me on my loan. Okay? And if the Arev already pays it back, what's the issue? It's nice that the Arev pay back on my behalf, or let's say in this case, on if you could pay back on Judy's behalf, but now Aviva's going to go to Judy and say, pay up. And then Judy can't say, well, I don't have to pay you because that's... If Judy was dealing directly with me, maybe she could say, listen, Michelle, maybe, you know, I really don't have the money. Maybe you can just be mochel my loan. But Aviva already paid the loan back, so there's no mochila allowed here. So therefore, in this case, it was an issue, a bigger issue, because it was Yatomim. So Amar Papa, priat ba'achov mitzvah, v'yat ve'lav b'nei me'abab mitzvah. What happened? Originally, there was a loan. There was a loan b'shtar. That was the assumption, okay? The father borrowed money, owed money b'shtar, there was a guarantor, the guarantor comes, collects the, you know, pays back the loan, the milva b'shtar is no longer, now it's basically, it's like a milva al peh, that the yatomim owe the arev the money, okay, without a shtar right now. So now, what's obligating them? There's no shibud anymore obligating the children, it's just the mitzvah l'kayim, you know, you have to pay back a loan, mitzvah l'fra chov, right, priyat ba chov mitzvah. And yatomim don't have to do mitzvot, because they're minors. So we wait till they get older, and only then do they have to pay Aviva back. Rav Huna b'Reish Rav Yehoshua Amar, Eimar Tzrarei Atpase. We have no idea what happened with the father. The father, in theory, could have given a mashkon to the malve. So if Aviva paid back the money, but we don't know, maybe the father already was matpis tzrarei, he took money aside and he gave it as a guarantee for the loan, and maybe that was sitting in the house of the malve, and maybe they actually don't even owe the money. In which case, you know, they need to make an argument for themselves, and also they're too young to go make that kind of argument. So in both cases, basically, it seems to be the same conclusion. It's just different reasoning. So the Gemara says, "My benayu, ika benayu kishachayev mode." What's the difference, the halacha, between them? When the father admitted before he died that he still owed this money to the person, in which case we know that he wasn't matpis tzrarei, and then we can just say, according to the first opinion, it's mitzvah, right? And we wait with the mitzvah. According to the second opinion, they'd have to pay right away, okay? They'd have to basically pay the arev back. Inami deshamtu umet b'shamte. Maybe they already said to the father, you have to pay the money back, and he didn't pay the money back, and they put him in nidoy, and he died while he was still in nidoy, in which case it's obvious that he didn't leave a mashkon or anything to guarantee for the loan, in which case also, according to the second opinion, we make the children pay right away. Shalchu mitam, they asked a question from there. Shamtuhu meit b'shamte. They paskind. Shamtuhu meit b'shamte. Hilchata k'Rav Huna b'Reish Rav Yehoshua. Okay, if we know for sure that he was in nidoy when he died, then we make the children pay right away. Okay, meaning we paskin like the second opinion and not the first. Because remember, our papa said, priat b'alcha mitzvah, and they're not b'nei mitzvah, so they don't have to do it right now. Meitive. Now we have a question, even though we just said we paskin like Rav Huna, this is going to be a question on Rav Papa, on mitzvah lifra, and the kids are not of age yet. Arev shayash tarchov yotze mitachat yado, eino goveh. Okay, if an arev has a shtarchov, if an arev pulls out the shtarchov, okay, basically says, I paid this back, and here it's in my hands now, okay, so basically he took the IOU, he paid it back, so he now has the IOU, because he basically can go now to the lova and say, pay up. Okay, this is a little different than the case we saw before, because the case we saw before, they ripped up the shtar already, and now it's just a milval peh. But in this case, the arev has a shtar that says, right, that says, I have the shtar. So now, arev shayash shtarchov yotze mitachat yado, eino goveh. V'im kachuv bo hitkabalti mimcha, so now it's not enough that the arev has a shtarchov. That's not good enough. But im kachuv bo hitkabalti mimcha, goveh. But if the malveh wrote in, if they wrote in the shtar, the arev says, hitkabalti mimcha, I got this shtar from you, then he'd be allowed to be goveh. So now they say, why is this a problem? So then this is all about the case of the yatom. So basically, if the arev has a shtar, what's the issue? We said before, it's either a milva al peh, right? That was the case we said, it's a milva al peh, and therefore it's just mitzvah lifroa, and the mitzvah is not kayam right now. But if it's a milva b'shtar, what do we say? Right? If it's a hitchayvut b'shtar, then there's a shibud. And there, we don't care what age the kids are, the nechasim of the father are mishuabad to this loan. So what he did by passing on this shtar that said itkabalti mimcha, he basically kept the shibud of the father's property. So it shouldn't matter what age the yatomim are, they should be able to take it from the yatomim. So that's what it says here. So that would only work then. So bishlam ala Rav Huna b'Reish Rav Yehoshua mishkacha lakash. Oh, sorry. No, I actually kind of gave you the answer already. Sorry, got confused. But anyway, let's start with the question. You could say that this was a case where he already admitted the father. And how can you be gover from the atonement? Didn't we say they're not of age yet, right? Or didn't we say it's because maybe he was matpis tzrarei? So if you say he was matpis tzrarei, you could say it was a case where kishchayev mode. It was a case where the father had already said, I don't have any, right? I didn't pay this guy back at all before he died. El Rav Papa Kashya, but according to Rav Papa, if the children aren't of age, you shouldn't be allowed to be goveh from them. So they say, Shani Hatam, Lachi Tarach, Bekatav Leit Kabalti. That was exactly why I wrote Hit Kabalti, in order to ensure that I basically carry on the Shibud. And therefore, the age doesn't matter because the Nechasim are still Meshuabadim, and he should be allowed to collect. Okay, another case. Hahu Arva De Ove Kochavim. Depare la'ove kochavim. Okay, so now there's a Jew who borrows money. He borrows money from a non-Jew, and he uses an arev who's a non-Jew. Mikame delitbi. So the arev of the ove kochavim, depare la'ove kochavim, he paid back the ove kochavim. Mikave delitbi inhu liyatme. Again, he paid it back before the guy even came to collect it from the atonim. Amar le Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi, hachamar avimi mehagronia. This is what Avimi said, Mishmei de Rava. Afilu lamanda amar chashina litzrare. Okay, even the one who says that we're choshesh, that maybe he was matpis tzrare, and therefore they shouldn't have to pay back the arev, hane mile Yisrael. Aval ovei kochavim, kevan debatar arve azil, lo chashina litzrare. Ovei kochavim, what do we say about them? We're assuming they're parsiim. They go straight to the arev, in which case, nobody would ever in their right mind leave a mashkon, because who cares? They're going to go straight to the arev. So therefore, it's clear he wasn't matpis tzrari, and therefore they can go straight to the atonim. You know, that he can collect the money from the atonim. So now, Amar Lei says back to him, Adrabah, no, it's the exact opposite. Afilu lamanda amar lochashina litzrari, hanemi liyisrael. Now here's a, okay, going around in circles. Since they're going to go straight to the Arev, how on earth are you going to get an Arev to sign for you? The only way you're going to get an Arev to sign for you, if the mom is going to go straight to the Arev will only be willing to sign if you leave a mashkon. Because then the Arev will know that he won't go to you. So he'll at least sign for you, okay. So therefore, dafka, all the more reason, when you borrow from a non-Jew, it must be that matpitz tzrari. You can also imagine he was probably trying to protect these kids. And he was saying, therefore, the kids don't have to pay back the money right now. And there's actually a machloket about whether the Rambam, the Rashbam seems to indicate that they don't have to pay until they get older. And then they can look into the issue. Because when they're older, then they can make a claim for themselves. But the Rambam seems to indicate, no, they can't ever claim the money from them because there's an assumption that they were matpis tzrari. Okay, so he says this means they never have to pay the money back to the Arev because it's likely that he was matpis tzrari. B'chein haya Rashba gomer ha'arev li shabak tubata. Now we get to this whole knunya thing. So here's an interesting, it's very, very interesting what happens here. Moshe bar Etzri, that's his name, arva diktubata dekalte hava. He basically guaranteed the ketubah of his daughter-in-law, meaning he guaranteed his son, that his, you know, if my son doesn't pay the ketubah, I will pay. Rav Huna Berei, Tzurva Merabanan Hava, Rav Huna, his son, was Tamil Chacham, Udechik Alei Milton, he had no money. Amar Abai, and I have to remember, Abai was very poor. So he very much identified with the poor, okay? He was an orphan from birth, if you remember, and he struggled all his life. What does Abai say? Leika denezav denas be'etza l'Rav Huna. Is there no one who can go and advise Rav Huna? Denigrashe l'debitu. He should divorce his wife. V'tezav atigbe ketubah me'avua. And then they'll collect the ketubah from the father because he doesn't have money to pay, right? So she'll collect the ketubah from the father who guaranteed the loan. V'hadr nahadre. And then he should go take her back as a wife, right? Just like our Mishnah said. Okay? Right? So isn't that right what we should do? So, seems strange. Why is Abai suggesting this thing that we said in the Mishnah? And didn't we say in the Mishnah, right? Amar Lei Rava, v'hayidi rena hana'ah. Didn't we say you have to be madir hana'ah? When he goes to give her the get, he has to swear that, right? In order to avoid this problem. V'hayidi rena hana'ah tanan, says in our Mishnah. Amar Lei Abai, atu kol d'megarish b'beit dina megarish? What, does everybody divorce in the courts? No. He could just divorce her, you know, personally. No one will know. He won't have to, you know, he can give the get without this neder hana, and then he can do this. L'sof, igali milta de kohen hu. But then they realize he was a kohen and he can't be machzir gushato, so this wouldn't work. Okay? Amar Abai, hamru da'ainu inshe, batar anya azla aniyuta. After the ani goes, that poverty follows poverty, okay? You know, this poor guy's never going to get out of his situation. You can imagine that Abai, who was poor, identified with this, right? So he was trying to help this guy and he didn't. Okay, so now they say, okay, besides, the whole thing is difficult, but not all the more so, Miyamar Abai, how could Abai have said this? V'hamar Abai himself said, Ezehu Rasha Arum, Zehamesi Eitzalim Korban Echasim Kirashbag. They say, who's a wicked person? That's someone who tells his son to sell property like Rashbag. Do you remember that case? He said, I'm going to give this money to you, and after you, to, it'll go to so-and-so, right? In other words, when I die, I'm giving money to Judy, and after Judy dies, it's going to go to Aviva. So if Judy wants to keep the money in her family's possessions, what can she do? She can sell it. And if she sells it, then her property's no longer there to go to Aviva. And he said, that's what Rashbag said, and Abai says, who's a Rasha? Someone who advises someone like Judy to go sell her property and, you know, do it in a way that's legal, but not so appropriate. So how could they, Abai say we should advise the son to do this? What does he answer? Tzur v'mera, b'no shane, v'tzur v'mera banan shane. This is different for two reasons. Number one, it's a father and a son. And number two, it's a Talmid Chacham. That's number one. Okay, let's go with number two first. A Talmid Chacham, we want to make sure he has money, right? So that he can continue learning. That's a difficult one. Okay? But the first one actually makes a lot of sense, which is what? Their perspective was, if the father had money and the son was desperately poor, they saw it as the father's responsibility to basically support his poor child, okay? And if he's not going to, then let's come up with some solution that we force the father. This is like we saw before, that if a father doesn't provide mizono to his kid, we can force him, we can try all sorts of things. Even though legally he doesn't have to, we can try to force him to do it. So likewise here, and interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch, I wrote it down, the Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer Kuf Bet, Siman Zion says, or Siman Zion, I think, that if Ein Ha'av Mahaneu Min Chasav, if the father doesn't help him with his own, from his own money, then we can allow this situation. We can basically do this in order to force a father. Yeah, very interesting. It's interesting if you think about their family structure, right? It makes a lot of sense that they viewed it as the family was responsible for the family. I mean, people still view that nowadays, but a little less so because we live in a different type of society.
Roundabout way to get that to be in effect.
Right.
We just say the father has to support the kid.
Right. Well, this is like a good example of, you know, all these kanunyas they talk about, they actually give people good ideas about how to work out, you know, loopholes. So they're basically saying sometimes those loopholes are actually acceptable.
Right.
And that's what they're basically saying. So,
except for Kohanim. Right.
So this wouldn't work for a Kohen, obviously, and that's what happened here, unfortunately. Okay. So Hani Chalam, one second.
And actually, the woman could say, okay, now we're divorced. Bye. I don't want to get married yet. I have my ketubah.
Right. It's true. Okay. V'ha arev hu, v'kaimalan arev diktuba lo mishtabed. But isn't he an arev? And an arev is not mishtabed. An arev of ketubah is not mishtabed. So what are the answer? Kablan hava. He was a kablan, not an arev. Okay? So now we're going to have to, you know, we'll stop here. We'll pick up on this on Sunday. This is going to be a whole thing about why an arev is not Meshabed himself, an Arev of Ketubah is actually not Meshabed himself to the Ketubah, okay? Whereas a Kablan would be, okay? So they basically say, this case, it must have been he was a Kablan, and that's why they were suggesting if he was just an Arev, he actually wouldn't have to pay the money. Okay, we'll get into it. It's a kind of complicated thing. We're at the end, so stop here for today. Pick up on Sunday.